patience was never my son Joseph's strong suit. So the whole season of Advent made him a little nuts. I used to have an Advent calendar to help him mark off the days until Christmas, thinking that that might help. Each day had a little pocket with a piece of candy in it. And with great ceremony, we'd count the days off by having the day's chocolate together. I thought it was a great way to focus on the passing of time and the preparations leading up to the birth of our Lord. But for Joseph, the Advent calendar was a hindrance to the main event to come. So one year when he was still pretty young, he snuck into the living room after I had gone to bed. He ate all the chocolate and proclaimed Christmas. It's here. Weren't his expectations dashed when I wasn't buying it and wouldn't allow him to open a single present early? But then when I think about it, I suspect there were many years when Joe's expectations were not met, when he opened his presents. Sitting there amid the carnage of hastily ripped open boxes, I could see it in his eyes. There was something he had hoped to find that wasn't there. All of the waiting had been for naught, and for a few minutes at least, he was disappointed. Patience and expectation. Two concepts that seem to run through our readings this morning as we hit this midpoint in our run-up to Christmas. Patience and expectation. It strikes me that those two concepts are linked together. There's a beautiful, I think, Chinese quote that I heard once that seems to embody, I think, these concepts. It goes like this. Do you have the patience to wait until your mud settles? Do you have the patience to wait until your mud settles? See, even if you have the patience to wait for the mud to settle, if your expectation is for something other than clear water, then you won't be happy when it does. Matthew's portrayal of John the Baptist's doubts about whether Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah is heart-renderingly poignant, and it speaks to these issues of patience and expectation. John, the fiery prophet who proclaimed Jesus' coming. John, the fearless messianic herald, drawing crowds and rebuking religious leaders. John, the rabble-rouser, scouring the banks of the Jordan and calling for repentance. That same John is now pacing a small prison cell. And he's wondering if all his ministry has been for naught. So desperate for some validation, maybe of his ministry, maybe of his suffering, maybe of himself, he sends a messenger to ask a question as momentous as it is simple. Are you the one? Well, refusing to give a straightforward yes or no, Jesus instead recounts the deeds he has been accomplishing. Go and tell John, he says, what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Does that sound familiar? Those were all the same things in fulfillment of the words we heard from the prophet Isaiah, read in our Old Testament this morning. But I wonder how John took that answer. It's an impressive list, to be sure. But given John's incendiary preaching on the banks of the Jordan, we might guess that he was looking for something, I don't know, a little more wrathful, a little more spectacular, a little more judgmental. Perhaps restoration of sight and health and even life seemed to John too ordinary, too mundane, to signify conclusively that God is at work in and through the one that John had earlier heralded with such confidence. Where is the wrath, he predicted. But I believe that Jesus is telling John that he needs to reconsider his definition, his expectation of who and what a Messiah is. John's problem, judging from Jesus' response, is that he hasn't yet recognized Jesus' actions as messianic. John, it seems, needs to stretch his imagination of what the presence and power of God look like. And maybe so do we. What if this time of Advent is not so much about waiting for something to happen, for the Messiah to come, as much as it is looking to see how God is already here and at work with us every day? You know, each week we come to church, we hear the scriptures read and preached, we sing hymns and we say prayers, and hopefully we have an experience of God. But do we also look for God in the other arenas of our life, in our homes and in our work? Can we imagine that God is using us in all of our various roles as employees and as parents and spouses and friends and citizens, volunteers, to extend God's love, God's blessing, God's steadfast care of all creation? Can we, in short, see God at work outside the church, in each other, and in the world around us, walking with us, giving us strength, even in the challenge of our everyday lives? The answer to that lies, I believe, in what our expectations of what is possible. There's a fascinating theory I heard some years ago that when the first ships carrying Europeans approached the shores of America, the native peoples didn't see them. They literally could not see them, because their brains did not allow them to see visually what they had no concept for. It was only the shaman, the holy man, who had such a connection to the divine that he could see things others could not. He could see the ships. So I think it is with Jesus, telling John the Baptist and us that God's realm is not one of judgment and wrath, not what had been foretold. Rather, it is about healing and wholeness. And that even though John the Baptist is the greatest among the prophets that have come before, Jesus is now widening that vision of God's kingdom to include everyone. And this period of Advent is meant to help us clear our vision so we can see it too. As some of you may recall, John Philip Newell, in his book on Celtic spirituality called The Book of Creation, says that in the Celtic way of thinking, all creation, and that includes all of us, were created good. Unfortunately, as we grow up, and life beats us up a little bit, we lose that ability to see that goodness in ourselves and in each other. So grace John Phillips says, is like Windex that helps us clean that lens again so that we are able to see God in each other and ourselves. I think that's what Advent is about. Waiting, to be sure, but not just passively counting off the days to get to the big day of Christmas. Rather, I see it as a time for us to help each other with that Windex bottle and to see God alive and active all around us so that we will be able to recognize God's coming yet again in the form of a vulnerable baby in a few weeks. We are being called to offer the church and the world fresh visions of a renewed and a transformed world, the kingdom of God drawn near to all of God's children, and not just the faithful in church. The kingdom of God being revealed in the person of Jesus is different, you see. It is far more than we have yet imagined. Lord, give us patience this Advent as you adjust our expectations, cleaning our lens, to see you moving in and around and through us in this and every season. Amen.
Amen.